Assalamu alaikum, hello and welcome dear viewers to Spotlight Middle East. I'm your host Farah Atwi and we're joined by Dr. Mohsen Saleh, a political analyst and a researcher. Hello and welcome Dr. Mohsen.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. The Geneva II conference on Syria kicked off in the Swiss town of Montreux on January 22. It is aimed at finding a political solution to the crisis in the country. The opposition and its Western supporters insist that President Bashar al-Assad must step down and that a transitional government must be formed immediately or as soon as possible. But Damascus has rejected that demand, arguing that the foreign-backed opposition does not necessarily represent the Syrian opposition. During their interaction so far, it is apparent that the two sides differ fundamentally on the sequential steps. Up till now, the tussle over humanitarian assistance to the embattled city of Homs is masking the latent contest for political ascendancy between the opposition and the government during the ongoing talks in Geneva. Contrary now to the opposition and the government during ongoing talks in Geneva, contrary to the opposition's call for a localized initiative, the Syrian government has announced its willingness to restore security and safety to the entire country before speaking of humanitarian aid. The political and media advisor to Assad, Buthaina Shaban, insisted that a termination of terrorism and restoration of humanitarian relief must precede broader political initiative. She pointed out in a statement that Geneva II conference is the first and foremost meant to stop terrorism from which the Syrian people have been suffering. So with all these wide differences, dear viewers, would the two sides reach a suitable agreement that can save the Syrian crisis? Of course, to know more about this topic, we were joined, as we highlighted, by Dr. Mohsen Saleh. But before that, we will take a report that would give us more information about today's episode. You will watch and be right back. Stay tuned. For months, UN, US and Russian diplomats struggled to persuade both Syrian sides to attend what has become known as Geneva II. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has said it would be unforgivable not to seize this opportunity to end a conflict that has left more than 100,000 people dead and driven 9.5 million from their homes. The Geneva II conference on Syria kicked off in the Swiss town of Montreux on January 22. It is aimed at finding a political solution to the crisis in the Arab country. The talks resumed on Sunday with UN Arab League Special Representative for Syria, Lakhdar Brahimi, acting as a go-between. Buthaina Shaban, the political and media advisor to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, told reporters that the Syrian delegation seeks to make arrangements for stopping terrorism in the Arab country and reconstructing it. Sunday's negotiations centered on the release of prisoners, come after the two sides sat together in the same room for the first time on Saturday and held two face-to-face meetings, which according to Brahimi did not achieve much. The UN envoy said Saturday's second meeting focused on humanitarian affairs in the Arab country. Brahimi added that he hoped the deal could be reached on sending a convoy carrying humanitarian aid on Sunday or Monday to Homs. On the other hand, the opposition and its Western supporters insist that President Assad must step down and a transitional government be formed in Syria, by saying that Assad lost his legitimacy when he crushed the once peaceful protest movement against him and his government. But when addressing the Geneva II conference on Wednesday, Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Muallim said that only the Syrian people have the right to choose their president. No one in the world has the right to confer or withdraw the legitimacy of a president, a constitution or a law, except for the Syrians themselves, Muallim said. The Syrian foreign minister expressed regret that some countries attending the international conference have the blood of Syrian people on their hands. He also argued that the foreign-backed coalition does not represent the Syrian opposition. The United Nations say more than 4 million Syrians will be forced out of their homes in 2014 by the escalating conflict in the country that has displaced millions so far. Dr. Mohsen, before speaking about the conference, a former member of New Zealand's parliament said that holding the Geneva II conference on the crisis in Syria without the major participation of Iran is a futile move. At the beginning, why was Iran, your opinion, sided when it was invited in the first place here to Geneva II?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, there are many analysis about this issue regarding the invitation of Iran and then with the pulling or withdrawing this invitation from Iran by the Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations. And I guess it's one of the astonishing remarks that was driven or drawn by Kerry. Mm-hmm. I guess they are trying to let Iran, to have Iran say that we agree on Geneva One. Mm-hmm. I said it and I will say it now. Iran is an independent country, independent state, cannot decide positively about something it did not do, mm-hmm. did not observe, did not produce, did not decide. That's why I guess they were mistaken to ask Iran to accept or to have its consent on something that Iran did not decide, and it has another approach. Mm-hmm. And I guess they were mistaken also that by withdrawing the invitation. And let Iran come to the conference and see what is going on now. Mm-hmm. They are not talking about Geneva One or the articles or the conditions in Geneva One. They are talking about something else. Yes. And even when they went to the opening ceremony in Montreux, they did not also talk about Geneva One. Mm-hmm. And
but
they talk
are starting
about
from the basis of Geneva
well,
One.
That's
Geneva One what joined them to actually open Geneva.
That's a premise probably the Syrians would not agree on since 2012. Mm-hmm. They sent their criticisms or their consent. They did not really agree on these conditions put by the Russians and the Americans. That was long ago, and now there is a big difference between 2013 and 2014. Mm-hmm. Before, in 2011 probably, or the beginning of 12, the opposition or what so-called opposition parties and the Americans and the Europeans were having this drive to topple the regime and to cut Syria and to bring all these dispersed terrorists from all over the world into Syria. Mm-hmm. But since the state was able to deal with these terrorist groups and to also put an end to their ambitious mm-hmm. Move, the Turks and the Qataris, and we saw a lot of problems, a lot of losses in the team of the enemies of Syria. Mm-hmm. So now, of course, we have to talk, and we see that the delegates of the Syrian government and the Syrian people and the delegates of what so-called opposition are dispersed and weak. That's why I guess we have to talk about something anew. Again, we can't agree on what has been put by somebody else for somebody else.
Exactly, and that's what Sami Kleb actually wrote, journalist to Al Akhbar English newspaper, which was translated to the English version. He said that France and Saudi Arabia pressured Ban Ki-moon to disallow Iran from joining the conference. Here, why, in your opinion, would they actually do that? Is it because they cannot accept the fact that a new diplomacy is carried on between Washington and Tehran and was translated with a new nuclear deal that was happening with the P5+1 in Geneva too?
That's
so it's
true.
As if they accepted that it will also join to decide Syrian phase, so therefore they are enriching Iran's role in the region, Doctor.
their animosity against Iran, their animosity to Iran is long ago, from 1979 when the revolution was initiated, started by the leadership of Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon his soul, and the West and some of the Arab countries used Saddam to initiate a war for 8 years against Iran. So we have this long story with Iran, from these states. Mm-hmm. But we will have to talk about this new era. Mm-hmm. And we will see that the Americans, they have to deal with Iran after Iran becoming a very powerful, able country and sovereign country, and has its approach, its theory, and they do a lot good things to to the region, in Iraq,
so
in Afghanistan,
its
and
role also in Syria.
So now
they wouldn't let it let the say for Iran also in Syria.
That's true, because Iran has interests in Syria, in Lebanon, in the region, because Iran is the only country, the only able country also to have stood steadily with the issues, righteous issues in the region, the Palestinian issue, the resistance issue in the region, and also with the justice and the equality in the region.
Yes.
But Saudi Arabia and Turkey and Qatar, they were also were having the American authority come and protect them and lead them and pay
and
all the papers
to, yes.
From Sadat's time.
Were they turning also to actually isolate Syria in the Geneva to by only keeping Russia as its own support, and by that of course banning those who can submit spiritual at least support to the Syrians in Geneva, if they're trying to isolate Syria on its own, because the only ones that are on the side of the Syrians are the Russians and the Iranians. It was easy for them to actually let the Iranians away, but left the Russians to them, because they're trying to isolate them in Geneva too and actually weaken their position.
They can't. They can't, because in the battlefield, the Syrians are stronger.
Okay.
And they have the word. And the opposition parties, they have no sponsorship or no in the battlefield. They have no terrorist groups or groups fighting inside Syria and achieving achieving the ground in some places. That's why they have problems in leading a dialogue that would be fruitful in order to save the Syrians in these parts or in other parts. That's why they cannot isolate the Syrian delegates, the Syrian
and obviously they prove that they can speak up for themselves.
That's why also they can't
scenes.
They can't isolate also the Iranians. That's why they have
that's why they separated them from each other.
No, they could not. The Iranians are there directly or indirectly, covertly or overtly. They are there.
Yes.
What they lack is the influence that Iran would have on the government
the
side
confidence.
Or inside, and the confidence and the people there in the region, I guess the Syrians, the Iraqis, the Lebanese, all these bordering countries, I guess they should have understood that the Emirates or probably the French or the British, they have no influence in as much as the Iranians have.
First short break and be right back. Dear viewers, stay tuned. Welcome back. Doctor, how will the absence of Iran from Geneva to negatively affect the process of the peace talk concerning Syria?
Well, first of all, they should understand that if they support the opposition and all these countries having backing of the opposition parties. Parties, while they did not call or invite the groups that's the opposition inside or outside, even in France, the national coordination group, and they did not invite anybody. They invited the people belong to Saudi Arabia or to the some intelligence services, the United States or the French. But also, when they neglect the great role of Iran, I guess they have to pay for this. Finally, the Iranians are there in the movement of the delegates of Syria, in the movement of the Russians. The Russians consult the Iranians in probably in every step, and they are there. Also, the Chinese, also the people that they have a great influence. I guess Syria, Lebanon, Iran, and Iraq, they have this very solid block that these Europeans and the Americans and what so-called opposition, they don't have any capacity or power to penetrate or to try to cut or isolate the
Yes, and
this
that's a
power.
Point that also the journalist actually, Sami Kleb, highlighted in his article. He said that they're trying to actually show the negative side of the opposition and how they are fragmented and split, and there is no kind of bond between them, and they're not even agreeing on one agenda.
They think the French and the Saudis, they think that they are helping the opposition.
Okay.
But actually, they are not. On the contrary, they are really putting them in a very very acute angle, let's to say, and try to put limits for their move in order to make a new rapprochement or to make a kind of initiative to solve the situation.
Okay.
So that's why they are determining or limiting the power of
Okay, before speaking about exactly the content of Geneva II and what the two delegates actually have reached to up to this moment, we are all aware at this point that Saudi Arabia has been funding and backing some of these terrorist groups in Iraq. Not only in Syria.
In Syria as well. Yeah.
Exactly. Not only in Syria, also in Iraq, as there is roughly 50 groups of which Saudi Arabia came out announcing that they are going to bankroll under the umbrella of the Islamic Front. Isn't it time, in your opinion, that Saudi Arabia should be addressed as the UN Secretary General who actually invited Saudi Arabia to the Geneva II, knowing that they are backing terrorist groups, whether in Iraq or even in Syria? Wouldn't that by itself be affecting here the credibility of the UN when everyone knows that Ban Ki-moon is aware of what the strategy of Saudi Arabia is, but still let Iran away and invited Saudi Arabia to the conference?
He said it clearly that he does not know of any help of the terrorist groups from Saudi Arabia, and he said that in Iraq. And Al-Maliki told him that Saudi Arabia is helping the terrorist groups in Anbar and
he said
he will talk. He will talk to the members in the UN Council
to know where Saudi Arabia stands.
Well, he knows.
But I doubt.
He knows because I guess nobody, the Independent, the Washington Post, everybody knows and published that the Saudis are helping these terrorist groups, especially they are trying to constitute or to make, made in Saudi Arabia. These groups are made in Saudi Arabia from the spring of the Wahhabi thinking and culture. And they are spreading them in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Syria, and anywhere, probably in Indonesia. Even the Russians, they believe that in Chechnya and other places, the Wahhabis are there, even in China. So this is well known. And the Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General, and everybody, the Americans, the French, know. But what they want to do, the Western countries and powers, the five plus one, they know that These terrorist groups stem from the ideology of the Wahhabis. Mm-hmm. And what they want to do now, they are trying to impose kinds of policies,
yes,
on Syria and in Iran and in Palestine in order to get their interests there, here in the region, and then try to negotiate with Iran and with Syria.
Okay.
That's, and then they will throw them away. I guess it's the Russians are asking very keenly that the conflict or the war should be against terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerry and Lavrov, they have said it also in many occasions that we should go to fight terrorism, and then they put probably any kind of move of President Bashar al-Assad to step aside, to resign,
mm-hmm,
to forgive himself from the responsibilities.
Okay. Doctor,
all these
how
things,
would you evaluate
second or third?
How would you evaluate the process or the way things are going in Geneva to up to this moment? Are you optimistic with the results so far here?
No. I don't think we'll get very serious,
mm-hmm,
results from this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say conference, I would say meeting, because conference would have many views and will have principles and a kind of hope from the two teams and very independent teams. But we have here from the government, the delegates of the government, they have all the freedom of will, let's to say,
yes,
and have the ability to decide, while the other team, the what's so-called opposition,
mm-hmm,
I guess they don't have this kind of privilege. The Americans bring them, collect them, give some teachings and,
mm,
dictations,
yes,
and let them talk about these things.
Okay, but
for example, nobody serious about the future of Syria would refuse or would have refused such paper of the delegates.
Okay.
The sovereignty, the prevention of the foreign interference in Syria, countering terrorism in Syria, bringing peace into Syria, and,
mm-hmm,
have the opposition and the delegates of the state negotiate their issues by themselves, Syrian solution, and also the final one, the diversity or plurality,
mm-hmm,
of the parties, and go into a democratic process in Syria.
Okay,
nobody would have refused such thing,
yes,
unless they have an enemy leading them to stay on their gun and having this gun directed towards the Syrians by killing and trying to agitate the situation in Syria, not to appease the people of Syria and have kind of tranquility, and at least psychologically to go into a peaceful thinking,
okay,
towards each other.
But Doctor, on a positive note here, both delegations, of course, to join Geneva II, therefore they accepted a Geneva I communique. Both delegations, as we highlighted, agree on Geneva I communique. They both agree on forming a transitional government, of course, despite the content of that and the connotation, even what's included in the transitional government. They both also accepted, speaking about the mutual understanding, they both also accepted to fight terrorism. And that's what also joined them in Geneva too. International community, on the other hand, is determined, obviously, as we are seeing, that they should talk and negotiate. Of course, more than 40 countries is actually pushing for this. So what are the obstacles here? I mean, these are the positive perspective that at least that's the common ground that we can talk about.
You know, my opinion is that most of these opposition parties are belonging to terrorist groups.
Yes.
So how could you fight terrorism while you are presenting or trying to be a representative of a terrorist group?
But also, Dr., for we should take in consideration that the opposition are fighting with the ISIS, with the terrorist group inside. They are fighting among themselves.
Well, terrorists are fighting each other. Mm. Daesh and the Islamic Front,
yes,
and the Syrian Liberation. Mm. I don't distinguish between them, but by the size of level of power inside Syria,
mm-hmm,
not in terms of their look towards substantial issues like resistance Palestine and the issue of the freedom of the peoples in the Arab countries.
But what is for sure here is that some of the opposition representatives in Geneva too, they are with the formation of a secular government, unlike the plan that some of the extremists inside Syria wants to form. They are trying to form an Islamic Wahhabi state, and that's their own ambition and their own aim.
That's
meanwhile, some of the oppositions are leaning towards a secular government at one point that can be friends with Israel, of course.
How much is the percentage of these people in the opposition parties that they would like to see a civilian state?
Mm-hmm.
How much? I don't think that these people who come or have help from Saudi Arabia or from France or the United States want a civil state, because first of all, they are dealing with Daesh and Nusra and all these groups who refuse even to sit with the regime or the Western countries or with the Saudis.
Yes.
So they want to do their own state. One. Second, the Saudis and the Western countries, do they want a solution in Syria and keep the regime and the army, the Syrian Arab army, and the unity of Syria?
Mm-hmm.
Do they want a future for Syria to be a strong and powerful state to live, for example, to outlive them? Do they want resistance to stay and resist against the Israeli occupation in Golan Heights and in South Lebanon? I doubt it.
Yes.
I doubt it, because these opposition groups, opposition or opposites of the regime in Syria, mm-hmm, of Syria,
okay,
actually, they are individuals. And these individuals, one represents Saudi Arabia, one represents Qatar, one represents Turkey, one represents France. None of them represent Syria, except the delegates of the regime.
Okay, we will take a final break and be right back. Dear viewers, stay tuned. Dear viewers, welcome back. Doctor, do you think that there is a wide misunderstanding and misinterpretation of the results of Geneva 1? Because we heard a lot of analysts speaking about the fact that every side, every delegation understands the concept or the communique of Geneva 1 differently. There is a misinterpretation of the case, as Bashar Assad government believed that a transitional government can be formed, of course, but let me say the opponents believe that Bashar Assad should be kept down, while Bashar Assad does not say that's not what they understand from Geneva 1. They are stressing on that factor.
And they have objections. The Syrian government,
mm-hmm,
legitimate government, sent its objections on the Geneva 1.
So there are disputes
especially
over Geneva 1.
Especially regarding the first principle or condition,
yes,
that they should constitute or establish a what so-called transitional governing body,
yes,
in order to deal with the issues, mm-hmm, of migration or refugees or security or strategic, whatever. Yes. But none, even Kerry said it clearly, mm-hmm. and Lavrov said it clearly, that this is this condition or this part, the first principle of the Geneva One, doesn't say overtly, openly, clearly that Assad should step aside and hand the authorities to this. And they are naive if they think that Assad would say, well, okay, take the authorities mm-hmm. and take the keys mm-hmm. of the government and let me go.
So that's there are disputes true. Over key issues here, not even speaking about Geneva II, but also about the
and
results
even in
of
this,
Geneva
and,
I.
And this, in these conditions, they say the regime should have a representative in the talks of Geneva II or in the later cases. I guess this is kind of what? Joke or what?
Yes.
Do you believe that Bashar al-Assad, President Assad, and the government would say, okay, come, at the time they have victories in Damascus, in Qusayr, in Aleppo, in Homs, and other places. So they are achieving victories on the ground, mm-hmm. and let these puppets go and govern Syria. We are
talking
here about something in the dreams
Syrian National Coalition, of course, here the Syrian government does not see them as a major or legitimate representative of the opposition. In your opinion, how would that complicate the process of the political peaceful resolution that is yet to be seen inside Syria, when the Syrian government are sitting with the representatives who do not even believe that they are legitimate?
They don't want peace in Syria. The Western mm-hmm. countries and Saudi Arabia, they don't want a peace in Syria. They want to bring all these terrorists from all over the world and mm-hmm. put them in Syria and let them fight each other or fight the Syrian government, the army, and fight each other until they finish them themselves. That's what is the plan of the CIA and the Western countries, and that's been shown, and we are witnessing the situation embodied inside Syria.
Up till now, negotiators from the warring sides discussed humanitarian gestures face-to-face talks in the Swiss city of Geneva on sending humanitarian aid to Homs specifically. Do you agree here that that's the best introduction to speak more about the Syrian issue, because Buthaina Shaban, the advisor, the political and media advisor of Bashar Assad, said that that's what we do on a daily basis.
That's
the task of the Syrian government. We do send these humanitarian aid. We're not here to talk about humanitarian gestures.
Yeah, we have been witnessing a clear picture about what is going on. Mm-hmm. We have here the delegates of the government.
So that's a waste of time, Doctor, or it's a good way to start?
It is. The government is doing so. It's mm-hmm. trying to liberate the people who are under the besiege of what so-called Daesh or Nusra or other. And these others, what so-called opposition in Geneva, they are not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They don't represent anything. When they talked about Aleppo, the delegates of the government talked about Aleppo, they said, the opposition said, that we don't have any relationship with these terrorist groups in Aleppo in mm-hmm. order to tell them we should go into the humanitarian channel in order to bring reliefs to these people.
Okay.
While the government, they know that they have two experimental expeditions okay. of these reliefs cars or mm-hmm. whatever from the Red Cross or other places, or from the UNRWA. And the groups, the terrorist groups, did not allow these reliefs to be conveyed to the to the people in Yarmouk and in Maalula and other Adra and mm-hmm. and these places. So the government is trying all these possibilities okay. in order to make the people be relieved.
Some analysts actually say that it was a smart step from the international envoy, Lakhdar Ebrahimi, because probably he started with common bases. When speaking about humanitarian gestures, neither the opposition nor the Syrian government would actually disagree on it. And of course, by only putting them on a table for negotiations, he should at least put them on a common ground before speaking about major issues concerning the Syrian crisis. Don't you think that that's a smart tactic at one point to start a negotiation of such a hard and a complex situation such as the Syrian?
These gestures are not political. That's why he thought that he could really reach a certain conclusion or certain result or certain achievement, mm-hmm. let's to say, from mm-hmm. this conference.
Okay.
At a time when these opposition parties, they don't know what to do in Syria. They came to be told and tell and discuss. Mm-hmm. We always say we want a regime without President Assad.
Okay.
We want without the old regime. Their hands were tainted by our blood and the Syrians' blood. As if they went to Syria in order to make peace, and the Saudis went there to make peace, and the French, they went to there to make peace. I don't think we have till now any historical group that would have its agenda, its political agenda, and foreseeable agenda in order to see peace in Syria.
Okay.
The regime in Syria kept the self-determination mm-hmm. of the Syrians in the hands of the Syrians,
okay.
and that's what they said it in Geneva.
There is this wide international support to Geneva for a peaceful resolution that can save the Syrian crisis. How do you understand that today when the U.S., when John Kerry specifically, when France, when also Russia, various countries, various important countries along the region, when they are stressing to that extent that they should put the two on the table despite all their differences. How do you understand that? Can we say that the West can no longer be involved in the Syrian crisis and they do want a solution for this?
They don't want a solution. The Russians want from this step to achieve more in terms of its agenda in Syria and in the region.
Okay, but some and say that the Western societies can no longer support the terrorist groups inside Syria, and they want a political solution.
That's what is in the Russians' mind.
Okay.
That on the ground, they should see the Westerns and the Americans. They should these terrorists' actions in the battlefield, mm-hmm. and would tell them that these people, the Syrians, cannot tolerate anymore these activities of. And this is coming from Yemen. This is coming from Saudi Arabia. This from Chechnya. From other mm-hmm. places, because they are betting on something that's in the ignorant mind of these terrorist groups, and their deeds, mm-hmm. their bad deeds on the ground, gave a kind of excuse of the Russians in order to make this kind of political bet okay. with the West and tell them, come, stretch your hand, let's shake our hand and go to fight terrorism inside.
Yes. I mean, but Obama considered that at one point.
Considered
a war on Syria, but then retreated. And now he is determined to bring both sides on the table to reach a political solution.
That was in just war.
Is it for the benefit of the U.S. as a representative of peace? You are speaking about Obama and on the last days in the White House. I mean, is he trying to actually give the image that he is still the president that is ready for a change and ready for a peaceful solution in the region and is against war?
No. He could not, because Obama is weak.
Yes.
His country is weak. Mm-hmm. The Americans were defeated in Iraq, in Afghanistan. They can't make any change in this world anymore. The Russians now can make change, and they are making the change.
Are they now afraid? That means if the other choice is not taken seriously or not taken in consideration, not even reasonable, can we move to the other scenario that says that they are afraid from a terrorist spillover to the U.S., taken in consideration that they are going
they
from
have
U.S.,
to expect they
from
have
Britain,
this experience.
Going to inside Syria, fighting, and then coming back, and at one point, U.S. is afraid that these bombings and these terrorist groups would commit
there
the same
are
war
reports.
Crimes inside
there
the
are
U.S.
Reports. There are reports mm-hmm. that the Americans, the French, the British, the Germans, intelligence services from these countries, mm-hmm. they talk to their counterparts in Syria. And they met them. They want any data about the terrorist groups inside Syria. Mm-hmm. And when Kerry was asked about this, he said, I have no knowledge about this. Ask the security body.
Yes.
So I guess the Europeans and the Americans, they know by these means that these terrorist groups in Iraq and in Syria are preparing something in Jordan, in Syria, mm-hmm. and in Iraq,
and they're spreading.
And in the European countries.
Exactly.
And they know that. And I guess now the crisis in Syria has been diverted towards fighting or countering terrorism, and they have lost these opposition parties mm-hmm. and the Saudis and the Turks, they have lost the momentum of their battle against President Assad and the axis of resistance.
Doctor,
and today, Erdogan is going to Tehran mm-hmm. and they will talk about the Syrian crisis. And I guess the Turks started to lean towards finding a political
because on their
borders
they are afraid
they
of the
are,
threat
they
of
are afraid and they could not
Turkey.
They could not achieve what they have promised their people that we will do this, Assad will be toppled
so
and
they are now
finish
in
the
need
government.
Of a political resolution. Doctor,
of
if
course,
a solution is
course.
To be reached between both delegates, how can this agreement be translated on the ground when armed groups cannot be controlled anymore? I mean, even if Geneva II is to be successful, how can this success be translated on
if
the ground?
If they have really supporters, these opposition parties, if they have supporters, they should bring their supporters in order to fight terrorism in Syria mm-hmm. and combine this efforts to the regime in order to fight terrorism.
Okay.
They have nothing to do with the regime.
Mm-hmm.
Regime gave them reformations or reforms could serve the political plurality and diversity in Syria mm-hmm. and let them go to election to vote mm-hmm. who have the right to practice authority and sovereignty.
Yes, and President Bashar Assad promised to be nominated as a president also.
He will be a candidate. Okay. He will be a candidate. Of course, he has the right to be a candidate. He has, as a Syrian,
as
to have this right.
As a normal Syrian individual. Dr. Mohsen Saleh, political analyst, thank you for your analysis in today's episode.
Thank you.
Dear viewers, that's all the time that we have. Thank you for watching.